Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse 16. 16, there's something good over there. Amen? Now it happened, let's all stand as we read together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain, where did he go? Where did he go? To prayer. That a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met him. So, you see, people can be possessed with spirits, right? A lot of times you see people acting strange. Just lower the volume a little bit. You see people acting strange. A lot of times they are possessed with spirits, right? Are you locked in? Yes. Say amen if you're here. Amen. Possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by what? Fortune telling. So if you're here and you normally or you're watching online, this is probably the people watching online that go to fortune tellers, stop going. If you've ever went to a palm reader, don't go there no more. That's a spirit of divination. It is not the true spirit. It's a masking and a trickery. All right? Good. There's only one spirit, that is the spirit of truth, and that's the Holy Spirit. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now, this is the devil talking here. Are you with me? This is the devil. So not because they're saying good things, that means they're of God. You have to be able to test the spirit. You got to be discerning to know what is pure. You know, there are a lot of preachers that preach a Bible, but when you listen to them and you have a check, like you say, this don't feel right. Anyone ever had that experience? It just don't feel right, because a lot of people move with spirits of divination. The Bible says many false teachers have gone into the world. Not a little bit, you know. Many. Not a little bit. Say many. Tell your neighbor, beware. Look at them. Say beware. Amen. And this she said for how many? Many days. But Paul greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit. Who did he talk to? Who did he talk to? So when you come to the altar and I command something, I'm not telling you to go. It's the spirit that is working in the background. Are you with me? Good. And Paul, you see, some of you this week, you're going to feel so light. This week, you're going to feel so good. Because we dealt with some things that were bothering you. Amen. Amen? We free you up. You see, like I took off that thing. It's like some weight came. It's wet. Weight came off of me. That's how some of you are going to feel this week. Like a weight has come off of you. Give the Lord praise. Amen. If I was you, I would say amen right here. Ooh. Paul greatly, you see, that's why sometimes there's some people that annoy my spirit, because it's biblical. You flow with a wrong spirit. So when the wrong spirit operates, your spirit and that spirit is like, oh boy, what you're saying is good, but the spirit, there's a problem. You see where it comes from? The thing they're saying are good things to the ears, but your spirit feel their spirit. Church, it's time to be wise. It's time to lean your ear in to understand. Amen? Oh, Jesus. Some of you are going to have checks in your spirit this week, and you'll be like, that's what Pastor was talking about. That's what he was talking about. And Paul said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men being Jews, look here now, exceedingly troubled our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them. So they stirred up the people, right? And the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into where?
Prison.
Into prison. Commanding, now this is where we want to go now. Look at who they're commanding. Commanding the jailer, say the jailer. To keep them securely. Having received such charge, he put them in the inner prison or in the dungeon. Who knows? A dungeon doesn't have no light. There's no windows. And there's barely air. And it's wet, musty, and disgusting. You feel like stuff is about to crawl up on you. And probably it was. Put them in the inner prison, in the dungeon, and fasten their feet in stocks, not stocks that you buy in the stock market. But they put their feet in some wooden things. So let's say this is a stock. They put the foot here, and then they put the other piece here on top. So this is how it locks. So whatever is in here is completely locked off. You got the, oh, here we go. This is their feet. Locked. And they can't pull it out because it's tight. See that?
Yeah.
That was Paul's feet. He has a nice feet, by the way. Right? Yeah, but their feet were in stocks. But at midnight, somebody say midnight.
Yeah.
When it's the worst time, when it's as dark as it gets. Paul and Silas were what? Praying. Singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a what? Great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's, not some people, everybody that was in the prison got liberated. When you get fired up, the people around you will experience salvation. I said, when you become fired up, your family will experience the power and the liberating spirit of Almighty God. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Because guess what? He was going to die either way. If the prisoners were gone, he was going to be dead. So he was saying, let me help myself. But Paul called with a what? Loud voice, saying, do not harm. Do yourself no harm. For we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. This is the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Watch it now. You and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. And we give you praise. And we give you thanks. Let your glory, your power, and your anointing, let your fire fill this room. Let the breakthrough of the Spirit, let the breakthrough of the Spirit, let the understanding of the Spirit of God move through this place in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today I want to tell you, Jesus is about to become the household name in your family. Where the devil says no, God is ready to disrupt the plans of the adversary. Where the enemy looks like he has put up wall, God is getting ready to disrupt the order and institute an order that you've been crying for. He's getting ready to step in. Where there was no peace, he's about to be the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 6, 9 verse 6 says, he is the Prince of Peace. Where there was no joy, the fruit of the Spirit is about to bear. According to Galatians 5:22, where there is lack, El Shaddai is about to show up. According to Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. What is a household name? A household name is a person, a brand or a thing that is extremely well known and recognized by a large portion of the population, often across many households. I want to talk to somebody. There have been a spiritual drought in your house, but Jesus is about to become the household name. Jesus is about to become the household name. Maybe depression was the household name. Depression was ruling. Maybe lack was ruling. But he said, I am El Shaddai. I am the God of plenty. He's about to show up. Maybe sickness was the household name in your family. But I want to tell somebody, Jesus is about to come, the household name, because he says in Exodus 15:26, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. There is a household name that is coming, and that is the name of Jesus. Listen, Paul and Silas was in prison, and my God, they were in stocks. But when the pressure got turned up, what did they do? They began praying. I want to tell somebody, it is time to begin praying. It is not time to relent on prayer. We want to see our households change. We want to see our families get saved. The word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your household. Not just you alone, but it is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to the saving grace and the knowledge of Christ and repentance and receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Many of you have been crying. Many of you have been believing. Many of you have been trusting. Many have been wailing. Many of you have been interceding. But this morning, the word of the Lord goes forth and it says your household is coming. He says your household is coming. He says your household is coming. He says your household is coming. We need to be like Joshua and stand up in your house and say, we're not looking to the right. We're not looking to the left. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter who don't want to hear. Stand up in your house and declare the word of the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody say, my household is coming. Help me, Kim. Say, my household is coming. Say, my household is coming. Say, there's a household move. Say, there is a household move. Say, there's a household move. Say it, say it, say, there is a household. There's a household blessing for y'all. There's a house. I said, there's a household blessing. He don't want to just bless you. He want to bless your children. He said he'll bless you more and more, you and your children. It's time for you to have an expectation of your children to rise. Have an expectation for your children to come out of the dirt of sin. Have an expectation to see your uncles get saved. To see your aunts get saved. To see your grandparents get saved. To see your friend. Come on, somebody say household. Household. Say household. It's time for sin to leave our households. It's time for our households to stop being the pits and become the palace. Because God says, I've called you kings. I've called you kings. I've called you kings. He said, you're royal priesthood. But where sin is, it's the pit. Oh my God, remember the prodigal? He left the house of royalty and he went down to live a riotous life. He went down to the pits of sin, and in the pits of sin he lost it. Maybe you've lost some of your loved ones because of sin, but I hear the Spirit of God says he's coming for the remainder. He is a God that restores. He's a God that recompense. He's a God that liberates. liberates. He's a God that set free. He's a God that brings man back to their senses. Somebody say, my household, it's coming. 1 John 2:7-1 says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. That you may not sin. Tell somebody, withdraw your foot from sin. The Bible encourages us to withdraw your foot from the path of the wicked. Withdraw. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You can't want God's blessing and all you're talking to is people that are not saved. You can't want God's blessing and all you're listening to is secular teachers. All week you hear the sermon on Sunday, but soon as you get in your car, you put on YouTube. You put on Hot 97. You put on 105.1. Or 93.5, and you're listening to things that are contrary. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the ways of sinner. He said, depart from sinner, come out of sinner, be separate. I got a plan for you. You are a royal priesthood, you are the apple of my eye. He said, I write to you so that you will not sin. I write these things to you so that you may not fall short. You may not what? Sinning is falling short of God's mark. But a lot of times it's the information we're receiving, the teachings we're receiving. You know, you can hear preaching, but then you go home and you're taught something else. Why do you think you go to school 5 days a week and the teacher teach you? So you're conformed to it. Why do you think they're sending the kids to school every day? If they send them one time a week, you think you're going to get a smart child? You try it. No. Number one, they're going to be looking for your child because they know if you do not send your child to school, they're going to miss out on their education. I want to tell somebody, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. When the man saw that people, Paul and Silas were still in the prison, he come up to them for counsel. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they give him the counsel. They say, believe on the Lord Jesus. Believe on Jesus. He died for your sins. He paid the price. He went on the cross and he hung out and he was broken for you. His God, his body, they stripe him up. Paul was saying, you see these couple stripes we got? He was so striped up that he was marred and disfigured and broken and left and abandoned and spat upon and his beard got plucked and they slapped him in the face. They give him a crown to mock him. I want to tell you today, this is the counsel that will liberate your soul. This is the counsel that will liberate your heart. This is a counsel that will break the chains of the devil. This is a counsel that will liberate you from depression. This is a counsel that will transform your life, your heart, your mind, and liberate your future and set you free and change your life and fill you with joy and fill you with hope and give you new life and life more abundantly. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? You see, the man was alive. He was about to kill himself. And then some men shout, they say, hey, we're right here. Normally when jailbreak happened, if the door even happened to be left open, the prisoners are gone. But my God, there was an integrity that was flowing. There was an understanding that was flowing. There was a liberation that took place in Paul and Silas, that even though they put them in prison, they were still free. He said, I am Christ free man. I am Christ free man. Who the Son set free is free indeed. I got indeed freedom. I don't need freedom from the system. I'm already free from the system. No system can hold me. No system of this world can check me. I've already checked in to the system of God and I'm free indeed. So they sat there for a witness. They sat there for a witness. I said they sat there. Where are you sitting? Church, Where are you sitting? A lot of us are sitting in seats that we shouldn't be sitting in. It said we're sitting in the seat of the scornful. We're sitting in the seat that God hates. We're sitting in the seat that God despises. We're sitting around people that God rejects, that God wants to save. But right now, they're on the outside and they need Jesus. But he's saying, you're sitting in some scornful condition. The prodigal left the house of privilege and royalty and blessing, and he went down to the pit. You see, sometimes we're so good at the top, but we said we just want to get a little messy. I want to see what it is like to get messy. But the prodigal nearly lost his life. The only thing he had going home was his life. He lost all his money. He lost all his friends. He lost even food. He was eating pig food. And he was going back to the Father. We need to come to our sense and realize how good it is in the Father's house. And not leave the Father's house and go down to the seat of the scornful. But my God, he says, your delight is in the law of God. Live your life according to the word of God. There is a blessing for those who will live according to the word of God. Somebody say, he's coming for your household. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be what?
Saved.
You'll be saved from sin. You're saved from the powers of darkness. You see, that little girl was empowered by a spirit. She was empowered by the spirit of divination, deceitful deception. She was locked into a spirit and the demon was telling her things. Listen, a lot of people know a lot of things, but they get it from the wrong source. I said they get it from the wrong. You want to find out some things, go to the Obi-Man. He's going to tell you because he's locked into a source, a familiar source. But my God, here we see, he said to them, oh, believe and you shall be saved from the oppression of demons. Be saved from sin. You'll be saved from the powers of darkness. You see, the devil is a mask. The Bible says he comes like an angel of light. Light is nice. I say light is nice. Light makes me look bright on camera. And that's how the devil comes. Bright and nice. Oh, hey. Beautiful. But in the back, he comes to steal, comes to kill. How can he destroy and kill? I heard this one this week, Pastor said. Pastor Jonathan Shuttleworth said, he said he comes to destroy your faith.
Yes.
He comes to steal your faith in God. Because if he kill you, you're dead. If he kill you spiritually, you're already dead. But then he wants to take the faith out of your heart. So that you wouldn't trust God and you will try to fix it yourself and you try to do it with other people. But mighty God, the word of God says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. We will not look to the right, no matter how hard they get. They were in prison. What were they doing? Singing. They were in prison. What they were doing? Shouting. What were they doing? Giving God glory. My God, they're in on the left. You're not going to look to the left. What are you going to do? You're going to pray. And how are you going to pray? Without ceasing. How are you going to pray? Fervently. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. He said, my ears is open to your cry. God wants to work in you and he wants to work in your household. We're going to see some household working. I said we're going to see some household working. Now this word believe, a lot of times we leave believe in the heart. We leave believe in just the heart. Or may I take a risk to say in the head. You believe in your head. Because the Bible says out of the heart flows everything. That out of the heart is where everything flows. So when you watch how somebody live, you can know where their heart is. No matter how, I was watching an interview with a very famous man this week. And he says he's a member of three churches. Right? He's a member of three churches. He said he don't know how much money his wife gives to the church. He's rich. He's one of the billionaires. He's famous. If I call his name, all you guys know him. He's on billboards all over this country. He said he would rather give $100 to a person than to put any money in the offering plate. Number one, his convictions are totally opposite to anything that Christ would want. But yet, he takes a cover under religion. The Bible says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. If you can give your treasure to God's house, you're not with God. It's not an offering message. I don't want you to give no offering. If you can give to God, your heart is not with God. You might think you believe in your head. We think we believe in our head, but let me show you what heart is. This word believe speaks about consecrating yourself. Consecrating yourself. A lot of times we want our loved ones to get saved, but in order for your loved ones to come to Jesus, it will take your consecration. It will take you stepping in to the spirit realm deeper. When you believe in Jesus, it is a turning from your old life. That's what it means to repent. To repent is not just to say, Lord, forgive me your sins. The word repent represents a turning away from and turning unto. You can write it down if you heard it for the first time. Repent means turning away from and a turning to. So I was living my whole life here in unbelief. I was living the world's way. I was in the world and of the world. I was living according to my feelings. Like when you feel hot, you want breeze. Right? You with me? You want to cool down. Right? When your spirit feel hot, you say, oh, I'm going to take a shot and a cool down. Take a cold one. Your emotion feel hot, I need a woman. Cool down. You catch me? Are the women too? Not just the men. That's sin. What is that?
Sin.
What is that?
Sin.
Good. So, I see a nice bag. I don't have the money, but nobody's watching. Thief. And he pulls in. Whoa, look at your bag. Wow, beautiful. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Thief. Carnal. Somebody do you something, you're ready to fight them back. An eye for an eye. You're angry. Somebody says something, you don't like it, you got 20 words for them. Oh, you can't out-talk me, you don't know me. Carnal! The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is what?
Death.
So, repent is to turn from this life. Now you turn to God. You feel hot? You're not going to take no cold drinks. You're not going to go to the bar. And you're not, let me come over here. That's a carnal life. Leave it alone. You're not going to go to the bar and drink. You're not going to go to the club and dance. Because the Bible says no revelers will inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to go to wild parties. Yes, your emotions feel hot. You're not going to look for a man or a woman. No, but you're going to go into prayer. And you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I command my flesh to be subjected.
Yes.
I surrender my body to God. The Bible says, present your bodies what? A living. Now when you're dead. What kind of sacrifice?
Living
sacrifice. Holy. Set apart. Holy means to be apart. Over here was unholy. as a reasonable, that's the least you can do for God. That is the least you can do for God. Because of all that he has done. He has washed you in his blood. He has liberated you from the chains of hell. The chains of death. The depression. The oppression. So many times we encounter, experience the goodness of God. And we go right back into the mud like the prodigal. So, to believe in Jesus is a life of consecration. Tell you our own personal story. When my mom got saved in 1981, our entire generation was Hindus. When she would go to where her community that she came from, on the east coast of Guyana, her uncles would say to her, sheep can't turn goat. That was their line to her. Sheep can't turn goat. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he becomes what? A new creature. All things, all this stuff over here has what? Passed away. And behold, how many things? All things have become new. She didn't listen to over here. She didn't listen to the carnal voices. She said, I have found a salvation that is sweet. I have found rest for my soul. Oh my God, it doesn't matter if I have or I don't have. I'm filled with joy. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of my faith. My life is in Christ. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. So they would torment her and tell her all kinds of things. Those same families, one by one, God start to save them. One by one, God start to save them. Some of them die and went without, but one by one, the families, them start to get saved. All the brothers, they throw away their idols. As a result of somebody. Now, I want to tell you, one of the reasons people don't follow us to church is that we say we are Christians, but we're living over here in the pit. We want to wear the brand of Christianity, and we want to receive the blessings of Christianity, and we want to receive the services of Christianity. But whilst you are here feeling good in your head, the enemy is eating away at your soul. He's eating away at your best. Jesus said, I'm coming in that you might have what? Life. I didn't come that you may have oppression, depression, confusion, misery, live in dirt and filth and walk like the least of the earth. No, I've come to make you new. I've come to set you free. I've come to transform you. I've come to move you from one thing to another. Hallelujah! So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saying, come out. They were saying to the man, come out, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Be separate unto God. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement has the temple of God, meaning the Bible says, your bodies are the temple of God, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Look at somebody, say, you're the temple of God. Say, you're the temple of God. And God has said, I will dwell in them. Tell somebody, God wants to dwell in you. And walk among them, meaning God wants to work among you. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be what? Separate, says who? Says who? Who said it? Pastor? No, it says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. And what's going to happen? I will receive you. I will be a father to you. And you shall be my what? Sons and daughters. Says the, I want to tell you, when you're a son and you're a daughter, you're in line for an inheritance. I said, when you're a son and a daughter, you're in line. Why you think the prodigal could have went back? Not anybody could have went back to the father, but because he was a son. I want to tell you, come home today. Come home to the father. Come home to a life of separation. Come home for a life of faith. The life of faith is dependent on God and on God alone. We walk by faith. The carnal life says walk by what you see. But the life of faith is a life of now. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of what you don't see. He said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. You will never go under, but you will only go up. I say you will never go under, but you will only go up. A life of separation. Wait, hold on. When the prodigal left the pit. When he left the pit and he went back home to the father, what did the father do? The father said, this is my son who was dead. Was he alive? Yes, physically alive. But the father saw spiritual death. He saw spiritual death and depravity on him. He said, this is my son who went down to the pit, but he left the pit and he journeyed back to his father. And when he got over here, the Bible says, my son, which was dead, is now alive. When you come out of sin, I write to you so that you may not sin. When you come out of sin, you start living. There's a life in you. There is a life that flows, and it is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. Amen? God did not save you to leave you in the pit. He saved you to bring you up out of the pit. He said, I will snatch your feet out of the pit. Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I'll be a father unto you, shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. Amen? So first, it's separate. Second, it's committing. Second, it's committing. If I commit this pen to Sister Stacy over here, lift your hands. Right, that's Sister Stacy. If I commit this pen, come. Take this pen. Go to your seat. Whose pen is the hand in? Whose hands? Whose hand? It's in her hand. You can separate, but still not commit. You can separate, but not. Commit is you releasing yourself now to be used by God. Somebody say, I'm committing myself. You see, God requires a life of faithfulness. God requires a life of consistent committing. Not yesterday I was committed, but today I don't really feel like. How does the mercies of God work? Every morning they are new. So what is God? Consistently committing mercy to you. He's consistently releasing his mercy and his grace and his love and his peace and his joy. The things of God are what? Eternal. So Paul says, in you I live, in you I move, and in you I have my existence. That is a life of committing. Meaning outside of you, Christ, I have nothing. So if without Christ, I am dead. And that's true. Without the life of God in us, we got no life. You might be existing, but you don't have the life that we're talking about today. The spiritual life. Romans 12, we already covered that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now you're going to think different. When you have been committed, you're thinking differently now. The things of God brings you joy. The things of God brings you happiness. The things of God delight your spirit. You know what the kingdom is? Righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Meaning, finding your delight in the spirit. You're not over here delighting in the things of the flesh, but you're delighting in the things of the Spirit of God. So the church, when you got to attend church, it's a joy. When you got to get together with the believers, it's joy. When you got to sing in the choir, it's joy. When you got to play the music, it's joy. When you got to operate the camera, it's joy. When you got to wipe the floor, it's joy. When you got to go share salvation on the street with somebody, it is joy. When you got to go visit somebody and pray for them, it is joy. Because what? You have committed, you have released yourself. Somebody say, I'm committing today. Come on, say, I'm committing. You know, there's some men in some marriage that's not committed. That's a hell marriage. That's a hell marriage. Because you're getting peace sweet over here, and you want peace sweet over here too. You are not committed, mean you have not released yourself to your wife. Or the same thing with some women. A lot of times it happens with boys, that some boys that get married are still hooked up to their mama. Whatever mama say, that's what I do. But you have a wife now. The Bible says, come on, the two shall become one. Well, what it says, you shall leave. So shall a man leave his mother and cleave to his wife and his father. What you're doing, you're now committing yourself to this woman. You with me? That's why all your ladies that got men living home with you and they don't want to marry, they don't want to commit. A lot of them throw the lie around, oh, when you're married, you're divorced because they don't want to commit. That's a lie of the devil. Tell the devil, say, devil, you're a liar. So the next time he said, I say, devil, I rebuke you. I told you what to do, right? Rebuke him. A lot of men don't want to part with what they have, so they don't want to marry you. I'm talking to the people online, sorry. Not you guys. You guys are all married. Any man that don't want to marry you, don't want to commit, get him out. Don't worry that you pay. He pays your rent. You want to get sense? Say, I am leaving. You're so quick. He gets sense. If he loves you, he's going to wake up quick. Because the Bible says marriage is honorable before God. Anything outside of marriage is what? Dishonorable. You want to dishonor God or you want to honor God? Honor. I say you want to honor or dishonor God?
Honor.
I say you want to honor or you want to dishonor?
Honor.
So you got to get married. I say you have to be married. Because in the carnal state, you can live like that. But as a child of God, you're expected to do what is expected in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom of God. We operate according to that. So don't expect me to bless you when you're dishonoring God. So, we have to commit to the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is a commitment to serve God. Worship is different from serving God. Worship and serving is two different things. When Nebuchadnezzar built the idol, he said to them, worship the idol, fall down and worship, in the act of worship. But serving is a walk with God. You with me here now? Serving is your walk with God. What the Bible says, Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Meaning he was so consecrated and so committed to God that God took him out of this world. This world was not good enough for him. We got to commit to God and walk with God. When your family look at you, they must see you walking with God. Monday, you're walking with God. Tuesday, you're walking with God. Wednesday, you're walking with God. Thursday, you're walking with God. Friday, you're walking with God. Saturday, you're walking with God. Sunday, all over again. Monday, all over again. Not 1 week. It says, you want to get rid of trouble? You want to get rid of a lot of struggles? The Bible says in Romans 8, walk in the Spirit. Monday, I'm walking in the Spirit. Choose them in the Spirit. Wednesday, oh, you're always in the Spirit. Yeah, I have a new address, and it is in the Spirit. Yeah. Believe means to separate. Two, it means that you commit. And the third, it means you become concerned. You become concerned. You see what happened? That man did not leave his family behind. But he said, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was a declaration of faith. That was a declaration that they were committed to God. It doesn't matter what the neighbors are doing. It doesn't matter what the school is doing. We're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what laws they're passing. We're going to serve the Lord. When they put out the decree that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they do not fall down and worship the idol, they're going to go into the furnace. That was the law. If you did not worship, you're going in. They said, hey, we're going in. And the God that we serve is going to deliver. But even if he does not deliver, we're still going in. They heat the furnace seven times hotter and they throw them in there. But when they throw them in there, Nebuchadnezzar was sitting on his throne and all of a sudden he jumped up and he said, man, didn't we throw three men in the fire? But as I look, I see a fourth man in the fire. I want to tell you, God will use you, use your commitment, use your concern, use your separation to reveal himself, to reveal his power, to reveal his love, to reveal who he is. Well, you got to get concerned for your loved ones. Doesn't matter what the temperature of the world is. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Looking unto Jesus, the one that gives life. Looking unto Jesus, the one that supplies hope into the world. 2 Peter 3:9, this got to take over you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Meaning, why isn't Jesus returning? Because he's waiting on some people. As some count slackness. But is what? Long suffering towards us. When you tell people Jesus is coming soon, they're like, where is he? Oh, they've been saying that forever. You better believe the delay is for your good. The delay is for your salvation. The delay is so that you can come in. My God, it says, narrow is the way to life and few find it. You better get on the few train. If you get on the bandwagon, you're going to roll straight over and bust hell wide open. But if you get on the narrow side, you're going to find a way to life. It says, God is not willing that any should perish. Perish is a heavy word, which means spiritual death. But that all should come to what? Repentance. When you believe in Jesus, the next thing that should happen, you should become concerned for your loved ones. That they would know this salvation. That they may get saved. So what you got to do, you got to stay in prayer. Because when you tell them, a lot of time it doesn't make sense. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is what? Foolishness to those who are perishing. So when you're telling them about Jesus, they're like, whatever, I don't need Jesus. I'm going to live my best life now, here, now, right now. And when I die, I'm going to go 6 feet under and that's where I am. Because their spiritual understanding is closed. So it is foolish. So I want to give you a step. I want you to step into the gap and pray. I say, tell somebody, step into the gap of ignorance and pray. Step into the gap of ignorance and pray. We do too much talking and no praying. I said we do too much talking and we don't pray. A lot of times you want to bombard people. Share the love of God with them. But if they reject, you take it on as an opportunity to pray for them. Take it on. Look what the word of God says. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Meaning that if your eyes, your spiritual eyes are not enlightened, you can't know. You will not know. So what you got to do, pray against spiritual blindness. Jesus said in John chapter 1, he came to his own and his own received him not. So sometimes when you're telling your loved one, they're going to give you such a hard time. Don't waste time. You know the word of God tells us what to do? He said, if you go and they don't receive you, dust your foot off, move on. Dust your foot off, but it didn't say stop praying. He said, go to the next city. So use it as an opportunity to pray for them. We had a situation we just buried Pastor Dahl's brother. Sorry for your loss, but here's the story. This man, very eloquent, very brilliant, very sharp, read the Bible all the time, knew the word of God. All his life, grew up in a Christian home, but guess what? He was never saved. But when we went to Guyana in May, the Lord put on Pastor Cher's heart to pray for this man every day. So many days she would go down on her knees by the side of the bed in the morning, in the night, and she would say, Lord, save him and make him a preacher, because he was so eloquent. And you know, we need sharp preachers, right? We need people that could give a good defense for the faith and all of those things. So she's saying she don't want all this eloquence to be wasted. So she kept praying for him every day. And before we know it, he got sick. He got sick. And he said he has to come to America because he wants to get better. But who knows, he came here not just to get better, but to get eternally secured. He came so that he can sing, it is well with my soul. And we spoke to him, you know, and we're like, are you saved? He's like, yeah, you know, I'm working on it. I'm working. And he was honest enough to know that he is not saved. When you're saved, you know that you're saved. When you're not saved, you're not saved. It's not a head thing. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. If you don't know that you're a child of God, you need to get saved. So we prayed with him and we say, you must be, I showed him John 3:3, you must be born again. And then I showed him Ephesians 2:8-9, that you need to be born again, but you can't work for it. You have to receive the gift of salvation. And to as many as receive him, to them, he gives the power, John 1, to become what? The sons. To become what? Sons of God. So when we showed him the word, he saw that he wasn't in the word. Oh, Jesus. He couldn't fit himself into the word. And he said, you know what? I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. Now, my God, he is in heaven. He is walking on streets of gold. But stop. Somebody prayed. Somebody prayed. I want to tell you, you're sitting here because somebody prayed. I said you're sitting here because somebody prayed. Somebody went on their knees and said, Lord, save that one. Save that one. Save that one. Somebody's crying out, Lord, give us the harvest. Lord, sending them from the east. Send them from the west. Send them from the north. Send them. You didn't come because you know somebody. You came because somebody prayed you into the kingdom. So today I have a call to action. I want us to take the same burden. Because when you receive Jesus, the next thing you become concerned for your loved ones. I don't want to go to heaven alone. I want, when I go to heaven, I look to my left, I see my children, I see my wife, I see my brother, I see my sister, I see my cousin, I see my uncles, I see my good friend. I see my business partners. Because he said it is his will that how much should perish? None. I want to see people I don't even know, but my prayers avail for them. Are you with me, church? I said, are you with me, church? When you get saved, you got, it's time to get concerned. Believing is you now becoming concerned for somebody else's well-being. We get separate. We commit ourselves to God. We serve God. We live for him. But then we become concerned that someone else will be saved. The commission is to go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's all pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you that our households are coming. The jailer said, Paul said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You and your household. Somebody say, Jesus is becoming the household name in my house. Say, Jesus is becoming the household name in my house. Say, Jesus is becoming the household name in my house. In Jesus' name.